بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فصل لربك وانحر. وقال تعالى: إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. وقال تعالى: لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. وقال تعالى: ولكل أمة جعلنا منسكا ليذكروا اسم الله على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام. وقال تعالى: واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر. وقال تعالى: وفديناه بذبح عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من وجد ساعة لأن يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا. وقالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما هذه الضحايا؟ قال: ملة أبيكم إبراهيم. قالوا: فما لنا فيها يا رسول الله؟ قال: بكل شعر حسنة. وقال: فالصوف يا رسول الله؟ وقال: بكل شعرة من الصوف حسنة، أو كما قال عليه السلام. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders, dear brothers and all the listeners, there are many virtues of Qurbani and there are many wisdoms and benefits of Qurbani. But the time is limited, so therefore we will not go into that discussion. Alhamdulillah, we have very, very knowledgeable, learned and pious ulama, Al-Mawlana Naeem Saab and others, who are all the time educating the community relating to these aspects. So therefore, we will not go into any discussion on the fadail and on the fawaid. But we will inshallah go straight into some discussion relating to the masail. Here also I want to point out that it is not possible to encompass all the masail of Qurbani in one program. One really needs quite a bit of time to expand and go into all the detailed masail of Qurbani. However, the more general masail, that which is required by us on a day-to-day basis, that which generally arises in normal circumstances, we will briefly touch upon those masail, inshallah ta'ala. So, we commence the discussion with the, on upon whom is Qurbani compulsory, so that we can ascertain whether Qurbani is compulsory upon us or it is not compulsory upon us. So, as far as the obligation of Qurbani is concerned, it will be obligatory upon the following person, somebody who is first of all a Muslim, because Qurbani is, nor is any other command of the Sharia applicable to a non-Muslim. Even if they do any of these acts, like there are certain people who fast the whole month of Ramadan with the Muslims to get the feel of it, there's no ajar, there's no reward for them. Allah Ta'ala will repay them something in this world, but in the Akhirah, there is nothing for them. So, it is compulsory upon a Muslim who is sound of mind. A person who is not sound of mind, such a person is not mukallaf. The laws of the Sharia are not applicable to such a person. So even such a person may be extremely wealthy, having money and funds and so forth, Qurbani will not be compulsory upon such a person. The third condition is that person must be a muqeem. If a person is a musafir, Qurbani is not compulsory upon him. However, let us also remember that all those people upon whom Qurbani is not compulsory, if they undertake the Qurbani, they will get the reward for it. It is not to say they are not allowed to do Qurbani, but there is no obligation upon them. So a person who is a muqeem, a person is musafir, there is no Qurbani upon such a person. However, if a muqeem, a musafir, became a muqeem in any one of these 3 days, even if it was before Maghrib on the 12th of Zilhijjah, then the Qurbani will become obligatory upon him. Because he is no more a Musafir and it is within the time period of the obligation, therefore Qurbani will be obligatory upon him. In the earlier days, 2 days, he may not have been it may not have been required of him, but now when he becomes a muqim, then Qurbani is compulsory upon him. And of course, Qurbani is also compulsory. One of the conditions is that a person must be baligh, reach the age of puberty. Therefore, Qurbani is not compulsory upon children, no matter how much of wealth they may have in their possession, saving accounts and so forth. There is no Qurbani upon them. And finally, Qurbani will be compulsory upon that person who has in his possession at least the amount of nisab. What is the current day, nisab? Is approximately 4,800 and some out rand. So if anybody has got that amount of money in his possession, which is the amount of nisab, over and above any other debts and things that he may be owing, then in that instance, Qurbani will become compulsory upon such a person. And it will not be necessary to be the owner of that for the entire year. The masail of Qurbani are different from the masail of Zakat and Sadaqatul Fitr. There is a slight, sometimes people get confused and they say, no, well, in Zakat, you have to be the owner of Nisab for the year for the Zakat to become compulsory. So therefore, here I didn't have Nisab for the year, so Qurbani also won't be compulsory upon me. This is not correct. So bear this in mind, that it is only for that particular day, on those particular days. If, for example, and we say the days of Qurbani means all 3 days. So if on the first or second day a person wasn't owner of Nisab, but he happened to become the owner of the Nisab by the third day, then Qurbani will also be obligatory and compulsory upon him. So, therefore, Qurbani will not be wajib on a musafir, it will not be wajib on a child, it will not be wajib on an insane person, it will not be wajib on a person who has less than the amount of nisab. These are the people who will be exempt from the Qurbani. As I mentioned, that if they do the Qurbani, the ajr and the reward they will receive. Now we come to the discussion about the times of Qurbani. When is the time of Qurbani? The time of Qurbani commences on the morning of the 10th of Zilhijjah, and it completes at the time of Maghrib of the 12th of Zilhijjah. These are the 3 days of Qurbani. Now, we know that the morning in Islam, or the day in Islam, commences from Subah Sadiq. So from Subah Sadiq of the 10th of Zilhijjah, that is the beginning time of Qurbani, and it goes right till the 12th of Zilhijjah, to the time of Maghrib. These 3 days, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, technically in the terminology of Sharia, they are known as Ayyamun Nahr. Ayyamun Nahr. Nahr means slaughtering, the days of slaughtering. Now, when can a person commence with the Qurbani? So, for those places where Salatul Eid is obligatory to hold, then in those places it is not permissible to do the Qurbani before Salatul Eid has been performed. Because the Quranic ayat also, the sequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Read the salah and then slaughter or sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever Salatul Eid is compulsory, in those places first the Salatul Eid will take place, then the sacrifice of the animal will take place after that. But where there isn't Salatul Eid compulsory, then in those places, the Qurbani can take place from the time of Subah Sadiq, it can commence. So for example, we take a farm area. There's no Salatul Eid that's obligatory on the people of the farm. In fact, it's not even permissible for them to read Salatul Eid. So there, as soon as Subah Sadiq sets in, the slaughtering of the animals for Qurbani can commence. So if a person bought an animal from a farmer, it can be a Muslim farmer, whoever, and he had it on the farm there, and he himself went there, or he arranged for somebody to have that animal slaughtered there, then it will be permissible. That Qurbani will be regarded as valid. But in an area where Salatul Eid takes place, then they will have to wait till the Salatul Eid is over, then only will the Qurbani be permissible. Like for example, in a city like Durban, or Johannesburg, or Cape Town, or Bloemfontein, or Pietermaritzburg, wherever it is, there we will have to wait for the Salatul Eid to be over, then only will it be permitted to do the slaughtering of the animal. Now the question arises that which Salatul Eid will be taken into consideration. Because Salatul Eid, different times, some places they read the Salatul Eid very early. You see the notice is out. I think the earliest Salatul Eid is at 5:40. 5:40 is the earliest Salatul Eid that will be taking place. Some places it's a little later. So which Salah is taken into consideration? So the ruling is the first Salah of that locality, of that area, of that town, that city. So as soon as the one Salah is done, then immediately after that, the time sets in for Qurbani, and Qurbani that is done after that will be regarded as valid. Just to explain the ruling, normally what we do is we read our Salatul Eid, and after that we go and then we start the act of slaughtering. But just to clarify this particular masla, so that the Qurbani is not done before its appropriate time or its fixed time. Now that is as far as the times are concerned. One particular masala regarding times in the kitabs, older kitabs, it is mentioned that it is makruh to do qurbani at night. But there is a illat, there is a reason for that, and that is because previously there were no lighting systems like how we have today. So therefore, if people did qurbani at night, then the result of that would have been perhaps not slaughtering the animal correctly. So this is the reason why it was this regard as makruh, this light. But where there is adequate lighting, like we have floodlights and all of that, so there it will be permissible to do the qurbani also at night without any karahiyat. It will be absolutely permissible to do the qurbani even at night. As far as the animal is concerned and the type of animal that will be permissible for qurbani, the bottom line is that animal must be such that it is free of defects. Those defects that will render it invalid for the purpose of qurbani. Not all defects, but those defects that will render it impermissible for the purposes of qurbani, those animals are not permitted. The rest of the animals are permitted. First of all, what type of animals are permitted? Qurbani is only permitted of the following animals: the goat or sheep, cows, buffaloes, bulls, and camels. As far as these animals are concerned, there is also a requirement of age. A goat must be a year and over in age. It is not permissible to slaughter an animal that is lesser than the stipulated age, even by a day. Make sure that the animal has reached its proper age before the qurbani of the animal is done. Similarly, the rule is with regard to sheep. However, there is one concession regarding sheep, and that is if the sheep is 6 months and over, but it is so healthy and fat that it appears to be like a one-year-old. Today they do all these feedlots and all of that, and they really fast-track the growth of the animal. Whether it's a healthy thing or not is a different masala. But they fast track the growth of the animal. So a young animal, lamb, resembles almost a fully grown sheep. So those sheep will be considered as permissible for qurbani purposes. But if that sheep looks lean and small in comparison to a 1-year-old animal, then even after it is 6 months of age, it will not be permissible to slaughter that sheep. Cows must be 2 years and over, and camels must be 5 years and over. And when we talk of years, then always we say Islamic years are considered. So now when we go to buy the animal, make sure that we ask the farmer for a certified copy of the birth certificate. Because otherwise, how we'll know how old it is? Otherwise, tell him, give you an ID book from Home Affairs of that animal, that this is the date of birth and so forth. So that is known by experience. We'll know by experience. We see there are people, mashallah, who got good experience with animals. And that is why we generally prefer to buy it from a Muslim farmer, especially somebody who knows the masail. So they will try to get that animal which is suitable for qurbani purposes. So, from experience it is known, and one of the best ways of ascertaining the age of the animal is to look at the teeth of the animal. So we can call Dr. Hussein Parak and tell him, Dr. Saab, come help me. Look for the teeth and see how big the teeth are, and from there we can decide now whether the animal is 1 year old or 2 year old or 5 year old or whatever age it is. So that is the way of ascertaining. As far as the, before we go to the defects, as far as the purchase of the animal, it is preferable to buy it in advance wherever possible, even if it is few days before. So that a person visits that animal, he gets used to the animal, he should feed the animal, he should spend a bit of time with that animal. In other words, tend to it. Give it some tender care and love, TLC as they say. And get a kind of bond to develop between himself and the animal. So that there is some feeling when we slaughter the animal. I mentioned yesterday also in the program that Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allahu Akbar, this great alim of deen, at the day of Qurbani, the day of Eid al-Adha, he would purchase the animal for next year's Qurbani. And Hazrat himself used to tend to that Qurbani animal. And he used to feed it with his own hands. Great alim teaching Bukhari Sharif, the teacher of people like Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Madani, Rahmatullah Alayhim, and many other great, great ulama of the time. Hakimul Ummat, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. These were the students of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind. This great alim is feeding the animal with his own hand. He used to put the water for the animal. And it is said that the animal used to accompany him like a pet when he used to go and give dars of hadith in the Darul Hadith. And when he used to come back home, the animal used to accompany him home. And the whole year it used to stay with them. If it got sick, they tended to it, took care of it. The whole family used to take care of that animal. And it is said when the morning of Eid al-Adha came, Allah, the whole family was weeping out of great emotions that went through their hearts because such a bond of love was developed. It was almost became like a member of the family. That is the true kayfiyat of qurbani. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Today, the general tendency is to look for the easiest way out, send the money overseas and get it over with. That is another masala which I will discuss, or maybe I should just discuss it now that I have touched on it. A often common question that is asked, is it better to do qurbani in South Africa or to do it overseas? And people have all kinds of reasons ready at hand. They'll say, you know, the people overseas are much more in need, poor people. So we have meat all the time. We have in our braais now and again. So rather you know, send it overseas. Let those people benefit. So, whilst the argument has some merit in it, but it is not absolutely correct. Because it is necessary for us to do a local qurbani as well. Now, I would say the easy way and the middle road is do both places. Do one locally and or do some locally and do some overseas. Why do we have to send all overseas? Ideally do locally, and if Allah gives the means, do some overseas. But remember, if we are not going to do the qurbani locally, a time will come when the importance of qurbani will go out of the hearts, either out of our hearts or the hearts of our children and our progeny. The time will come when the children will feel and they will have this misconception that qurbani means to send money overseas. That is the meaning of qurbani. That is the understanding of qurbani that will develop. So therefore it is very, very important that we must do the qurbani locally as well. Even if it is one animal. And furthermore, how are we going to implement all the sunnahs and etiquette of qurbani if we don't do it locally? That will only be possible if we do the qurbani locally. The whole exercise of choosing an animal, feeding that animal, and being present, if possible, to do the slaughter oneself if one knows how to do it. Then to arrange for the distribution of the meat of that animal. All of these things can only happen if a person does the qurbani locally. But if you're going to send it overseas, then all these sunnahs, where will we be able to practice and implement it? Therefore, my appeal to all our brothers is, please, every family must do at least one, two qurbanis locally. If you want to send thereafter overseas, then send it overseas. But remember one more thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of our niyat and intention. If we are sending overseas, the obligation might be done. Nobody will tell you that, no, your qurbani is not valid. But if we're doing it just to escape, we have, many people have this outlook, where am I going to go and get myself messed up? Dirty my hands and dirty my clothes and handle a smelly animal. And they feel it's below their dignity. That's why the first thing to slaughter before the animal, slaughter that ego of ours also. Slaughter that ego. That ego that is standing between us and a great sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, that ego deserves to be slaughtered. So do not have this mentality and outlook that this is, you know, below us. We don't want to get ourselves dirty and messed up. And it also engenders in a person that spirit. I don't want to go into the fawaid and benefits, so we will leave that discussion. So just keep this particular point in mind, that it is very important that we must do local. And if we do overseas too, look for the cheapest place to do the qurbani. This is another very important point. That many a times people are advertising the qurbani so cheap that it boggles the mind that how can a decent animal be slaughtered for that kind of money. And there are people who have come from overseas and they've explained that there are certain animals that are absolutely worthless, useless, and they are basically skin and bone, and just for the sake, it's almost become like a commercial enterprise and money-making scheme that people take those animals, they slaughter them when they are not worthy of anything, and they say, no, don't worry, I even got the images, your qurbani was done. So don't look for the cheapest place. Look at a worthy and a reliable person if you are going to entrust your qurbani. Make sure you look for a reliable person. Don't just give it to any person and just trust that person. just because we want to, so to say, get over with it. Also the same applies to the masail of zakat. Many a times people just give zakat to anybody who came to knock at their door. They, I just want to get rid of him. Give him 10 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand. We got rid of him. Did we get rid of our obligation? Did we get over with our obligation? What if that person wasn't a worthy recipient? He wasn't masraf of zakat. We didn't investigate, we didn't do nothing, we just gave it away. So we cannot be so, we don't do that when it comes to our business dealings, that any Tom, Dick and Harry that approaches us and tells us this is a very lucrative investment, put your money down. There we will make 100 inquiries until we are not 200% sure that it is an authentic thing, we won't even venture to put our money down. But why is it when it comes to zakat and qurbani that we take such a lackadaisical attitude? So this is something that needs to be rectified and corrected. Even if we are sending overseas, ensure that it is with somebody authentic. Now we come to the masail relating to the deficiencies in the animal, the defects. We cannot make qurbani of an animal whose nose has been cut off. We cannot make qurbani of an animal whose tongue is cut off or damaged, which results in it not being able to eat. We cannot make qurbani of an animal whose udders are damaged, because of which milk does not come out from the udders. We cannot make qurbani of an animal that is diseased. We cannot make qurbani of an animal that is lame, that it walks on three legs and it drags its fourth leg. We cannot make qurbani of a very weak and emaciated animal. This is what I'm saying, that in India and other countries, there are people who take the most emaciated of animal skin and bone, and they make qurbani of that, and they then tell the people that, no, authentic, we did slaughter the animal. So, emaciated animals are not even permissible for the purposes of qurbani. We cannot do qurbani of an animal that is a hermaphrodite. It has got both male and female organs. We cannot do qurbani of an animal that has no teeth or most of its teeth are gone. Even if it's got dentures, can't make qurbani of that animal. We cannot make qurbani of an animal that is insane. Cannot make qurbani of an animal whose horns are broken at the root, not just from the top, but right at the root, in the head, if the root, because that actually makes the animal insane. Cannot make qurbani of that animal. We cannot make qurbani of an animal whose ear is cut off, or who was born without ears at birth, or more than a third of the ear of that animal has been cut off. We cannot make qurbani of such an animal. We cannot make qurbani of an animal that has lost its vision in both eyes, or in one eye, or it has lost one third or more of its vision. Then we cannot do qurbani of that animal. So now we have to take the animal to the optician and put it there in front of that chart there and make it read the alphabets there. Now, if you put the Arabic alphabet, the only alphabet that it will get right is ba. Ba, ba, ba. It will keep reading ba. So don't think that no, its vision is very good because it can see the ba. So how do we ascertain the vision of the animal? That also comes with experience. People who know about animals, deal with animals, they have an idea about. And there are masail written in the kitabs as to how you can ascertain that you take the animal, put it at a certain distance, then show it, you know, some hay or grass and see if it comes. Then push, take it a little further back, and if it can't see, that means, you know, the vision. So these, leave that part to the farmers and people who know about these things. They will be able to tell you about it. And let us also remember that if any defect or deficiency came into the animal from the time it was purchased right till the time of Qurbani, then that animal will not be acceptable for the purposes of Qurbani. We'll have to buy another animal. However, in the process of Qurbani, whilst the animal has been taken to Qurbani, it tripped and fell and broke its leg, or because it was taken with force and so forth, some defect came into the animal. Because it's in the process of Qurbani that this happens, therefore that animal will be regarded as valid for the purpose of Qurbani. It will be permissible to make Qurbani of that animal. Now we come to one last aspect with regards to deficiency in the animal, and that is the tail. We left that for the tail end. The tail masla. This is a very common masla that has been asked nowadays. So the principle or the general rule in the Sharia as far as the tail is like that of the ear and the nose and the ear and the eye, that if more than one third or more than one third of the tail is cut off, then it is not permissible to make qurbani of that animal. However, there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama on this. There are some ulama of the opinion that this masla is relating to a deficiency in the animal. So if the tail is cut not to deface the animal, but in fact to enhance the health of the animal and to protect it from diseases, on that basis they say that it will be permissible to slaughter such an animal. Because generally these animals that are fed by feedlot, there is a tendency for them to develop some kind of germs and diseases in their tail, and which makes the animal quite sick and it can die of that disease and sickness. So this is the reason why farmers generally, they dock the tail of those animals. Those animals generally don't go into the meadows to feed and they don't get adequate sunlight. So because they're not exposed to sunlight, there's all fancy scientific theories that they give, they explain all that. We don't want to go into all those details. But suffice it to say that they are saying that it's not to create a deficiency in the animal, but it's to enhance the well-being of the animal. So because of that, they cut the tail. So on that basis, some ulama have given the ruling. And also on the basis of necessity, where you can't find enough animals with tails, they have given the ruling that it is permissible to make sacrifice of such an animal. Hazrat Mufti Wali Hassan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, once he came to South Africa and a situation like this arose, so he gave the fatwa of permissibility. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, on the other hand, he still had the view, the cautious view, that rather than slaughtering the sheep without the tail, it's generally the sheep whose tails are docked, rather cut goat or a big animal like a cow or ox and be on the safe side. But, subhanallah, when people used to come to Mufti Sahab to ask this masla, he would say, why don't you follow the fatwa of Mufti Wali Hassan? But if they insisted and say, Hazrat, no, we want your fatwa, then he would tell them that my fatwa is, you must slaughter it with the tail. But he didn't say that you can't follow the fatwa of some other alim or some other mufti. We should not point fingers at people and this say or qurbani is disregarded. But as far as possible, we should look, and now alhamdulillah, the farmers do know that people want animals with the tails. So they make that intizam and they make that arrangement. It's always better to be cautious and to take the precautionary approach as far as ibadat is concerned. These were the masail relating to the animal. Now, we will discuss some masail relating to the actual act of slaughter, the method, and the entire process of the handling of the animal. So this we will do very briefly, inshallah ta'ala. And then one last discussion will be relating to the distribution of the meat and a few basic general masail. As far as the handling of the animal is concerned, We must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of human beings and animals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given rights to human beings and also to animals. Therefore, it is not permissible to infringe the rights of animals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory that animals must also be treated humanely. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah has made it compulsory that there must be kind treatment towards everything. So when you slaughter, then slaughter kindly, and when you kill, kill kindly, and sharpen your knife and give comfort to your animal. Do not make your animal suffer. This is the broad guidelines from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I mentioned about the rights of animals. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned another hadith. Fear Allah with regards to the animals. Ride them nicely, treat them nicely. And if you wish to eat them, then treat them befittingly. So, therefore, inhuman treatment of animals is not correct. And we will be regarded as sinful. It's very important how the animals are transported. They should be transported in such a way that they are subjected to tremendous hardship. The way the animals are kept in confinement in their pens, they also make sure there is adequate space for the animals to move around. Do not jam-pack them in the pens that they can hardly move. And they are knocking into each other all the time. They're battling just to lie down or sit down. In the pens, ensure that we've got sufficient water and feed so that the animal doesn't go through thirst and hunger. When it comes to the handling of the animal, we should not poke it, prod it, drag it by the feet, by the legs, drag it by the horns, put a rope around its neck and pull it. Nor should you pick it just by the wool or the fleece and pick it up like this. People want to show their bravado when it comes to handling the animal, that you know how strong I am. You must pick your size. Don't choose that poor animal to show your bravery. It's not nice. It is not correct to do these things. We see many things that are very hurtful. You should not treat the animal in a rough manner, rough handle it. Even the children must be taught. Children in that zeal and enthusiasm, they want to do things. You should train them, educate them, teach them. See, this is not the way to handle the animal. And this is the benefit of doing qurbani at home or locally, so that you can show your children, take them. In fact, even the family should be taken, but provided there's proper parda arrangement. Alhamdulillah, at our Darul Uloom Azadwal, there is a qurbani section in the back of the Darul Uloom, and mashallah, they got actually, you know, like a parda section, where there's an enclosed area where the slaughtering takes place for families. And it can be done. If it is done there, it can be done everywhere else. It's just a matter of putting things, basic things. You don't need to put some fancy, go and buy a few thousand rand curtains and put around there. Just a bit of a basic thing, just so that the women folk are comfortable. Because we find the women, they say, no, we want to be there for qurbani. Okay, fine. But then what about the laws of Shariat? We're slaughtering an animal, but in the process we're slaughtering Allah's hukam. At the same time, this is not correct. The women folk should not be encouraged to go where there isn't proper arrangement for parda. But where there is, then by all means encourage them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Fatima, qumi ila udhiyatik, fashhadiha. O Fatima, stand up and see your animal being slaughtered and witness it. So if we ask our Muslim brothers who are doing the qurbani thing, they got arrangements, tell them, please, if you can make some arrangement, one, two areas where ladies in parda, the females, they can also come. They should also witness so that the whole family is part of it. Everybody should be in the spirit of qurbani on that day. So as far as the handling is concerned, it's very important that we handle it gently. When it comes to restraining the animal at the time of slaughter also, Don't throw it on the ground harshly. Place it down with respect, dignity on the ground. Don't restrain it unduly for long. Now you got the animal there, people are talking with each other. The animal is lying down there waiting, and we're prolonging its agony. This is not correct. When we are ready to do the slaughter, we should bring the animal there, not from before. And we know all those other, the animal must be made to lie on its side. You can't slaughter it while it's leaning. Besides the camel, which has got a different method of, don't twist the tail of the animal or drag it when we're taking it for the slaughter. And the slaughter must be done by somebody who knows how to do it. If we don't know, then we shouldn't attempt it. There was one place where they were doing the kurbani for a photo shoot. So they were posing there in the background. This person knew nothing about slaughtering, and he took the knife with no knowledge, and instead of slaughtering the animal, he cut the hand of the person who was actually helping him to hold the hand down. The man almost lost the use of his hand for his whole life. This is not correct. If you don't know, observe, watch, learn, then we should attempt it. But if we know, then by all means we should try and do our own qurbani. The knife must not be sharpened in the presence of the animal. Don't kill it twice. Don't give it a double death. Sharpen the knife before and make sure after every few animals we sharpen our knife. The knife is not going to stay permanently sharp. It needs to be sharpened from time to time. Do not show the knife to the animal. Don't think the animal is dumb, it doesn't know what is a knife. Don't slaughter one animal in the presence of another animal. Don't leave the traces of blood. Wash it out before we bring the animal. And we should try to make the cut swift, sharp, know exactly which point to slaughter the animal. Going over and over and over, it is actually subjecting the animal to unnecessary torture. And the animal must be left to bleed out. Don't just immediately take it away for skinning. It must be left to bleed out. Ensure that when we're doing the slaughtering, we cut minimum of 3 out of 4 vessels. That is compulsory. 4 vessels is the right thing to do. But if we cut less than the 3 vessels, the animal will not even be halal for consumption. The qurbani will not even be valid. And at the time of qurbani, try to face the animal in the direction of Qibla. And read all the necessary du'as, but try and read the du'as quickly, because if we're standing there and taking long to read all the du'as, then we're holding the poor animal down there, and that is not right. So read short du'as. If you know the long du'a, read it fast. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ardha hanifan wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. La sharika la wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin wa ana minal muslimin. Allahumma minka ولك. And then بسم الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد اللهم تقبله منا كما تقبلت من نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وخليلك إبراهيم عليه السلام. Whatever du'as we can remember or we can manage, do as far as possible, read those du'as, and then let the animal bleed out. They say it takes at least about 8 minutes for a cattle to bleed out and 6 minutes for a small animal like a sheep or a goat to bleed out. Then when it has cooled down a little bit, it is taken and then it is skinned. We shouldn't skin it before that. And now we come to the part of the distribution of the meat. As far as the distribution of the meat is concerned, it is permissible for a person to take all the meat for himself if he wishes to. It is permissible for him to give all the meat away if he wishes to. But it is preferable for him to keep 1/3 of the meat for himself, give 1/3 to friends and family and neighbors, and give 1/3 to the poor. And when it comes to the distribution of the meat, we should not keep all the best parts for ourselves, and then the very, lowly parts, which we don't like to keep, we take that and we give that to the poor people and say, no, we fulfill the right of the poor. We should give them also from the good cuts. Meat can also, qurbani meat can also be given to non-Muslims. It is permissible to give them also. Although we should try and give the Muslims. The meat of the qurbani animal and its skin may not be given as payment in lieu of those people who are helping to do the slaughtering and skinning as payment. You can give it to them as a gift, but not as payment. The payment must be negotiated with them up front, and thereafter, if we wish to give them some gift of the meat of the animal, it will be permissible. When it comes to the skin of the animal, then it is permissible to keep it for your personal use. In your home, if you want to use a sheepskin, or in your car, or wherever else, it is permissible to give it away to a friend or relative as a gift. And it is also permissible to give it away to the poor people. And it is also permissible to sell it. But then that money cannot be used for one's own self. It has to be given to the poor. It cannot even be given to a madrasa or a masjid, because it has to be given to somebody who is mustahik. Somebody who is mustahik. So a masjid is not mustahik. It's not an individual. It's a juristic person. It's not a shakhs. It's not a person. Therefore, that money must be given compulsory to the poor people. Remember, when people come and collect your qurbani skin, know who you're giving it to. If you're giving it to anybody, any organization, and they're taking it and they're saying, we're building masjid with this, that is not correct. It has to be given to the poor. And finally, some general masail relating to qurbani. As I explained, that many things that need to be said, but these are just covering the very basic aspects. Yes, it is also, when it comes to animals, it is also permissible to slaughter an animal that has been castrated. In fact, it is preferable to slaughter such an animal. They say in the goat meat, if the animal was castrated, it doesn't give off the stench in that meat generally when it has been castrated. So whatever reason it is permissible, in fact preferable. General masail, we should try to eat of the meat of the animal first thing on the morning of Eid al-Adha, because that was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is also mentioned that it was a sunnah to eat of the liver of the animal, because the liver, the kaleji, can be cooked very quickly. So we start off with that. So people say you must keep roza on Eid morning. It's haram to fast on day of Eid. It's not permissible. So it's not a roza. Clear that air out. It's just preferable not to eat anything on Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Fitr, we have something to eat before we go for Eid Salah. Eid al-Adha, we don't have anything to eat, and we try as far as possible to eat the meat of the animal, the first thing. So try to make amal on this sunnah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And in the days of qurbani, we should try to eat as much of the meat as possible. This is hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's ziyafat. So try to eat as much of that meat as possible. And it is also permissible to freeze it and put it in the mortuary, in the freezer, keep it there for as long as we want to. It is allowed. Some people keep it, I mentioned this yesterday, right till next Bakrid. One alim was saying that he went to one house. Immediately after namaz, the qurbani meat was on the table, and the people say, Hazrat, this qurbani meat. He said, I can't believe it. We just came back from salah, and so quickly these people cut the animal, skinned it, cleaned it, cooked it. He said, how you all manage? He said, no, Hazrat, this is last year's qurbani. So, this masla of eating qurbani meat refers to this year's qurbani. We can keep it. There's no prohibition. But you shouldn't store it and think that eating it on the next Eid is going to be the sunnat. Sunnat is to eat that year's animal. So try to eat as much of that meat in those 3 days. Because that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enjoy His ni'mat that He has granted unto us. Under the general masail, there may be one or two short masail, and then inshallah we conclude within the next 3-4 minutes. Yes, we should try and do isalu sawab in qurbani, especially for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the marhumeen as well. And for a number of people, for the entire ummah, if Allah gives us tawfiq. As Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for his whole ummah, so we learn from that, that we can include more than one person for the purposes of isalu sawab. We do the qurbani, nafli qurbani, and we convey the reward of that to as many people as we want. In fact, a number of people can put money together and do one nafil qurbani and make isalu sawab for as many people as they wish. This is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Qurbani, very important, is our niyat. I forgot about this, should have been right in the beginning, that the niyat of qurbani, we must formulate properly at the time of doing the qurbani, that we are doing this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slaughter of this animal as qurbani, so that we get the full reward of it. Ihdarun niyya, make that niyat firm and solid at that time. The fact that we are standing there and we are present and we are slaughtering the animal is qaim maqam. It's like in place of the niyat, like how when you're having sari, it's qaim maqam of the niyat, because why are you going to eat at that time of the morning if it's not your intention to fast? So don't go into unnecessary doubts. Some people have this problem of waswasa, and even in the salah, person is making intention, he's lifting his hands, and by the time he finished making his intention, Imam Sahib is gone in ruku. So that is a waswasa. So don't take so long to make intention before you slaughter the animal. There's so many other people already slaughtered the animals and you still didn't make your niyat. Our ustad used to say that there was one person who had such a problem of waswasa that he used to make his niyat. Couldn't start. His picture is imam ke, behind this imam, until he didn't go and touch the imam with his finger, till then he shouldn't say Allahu Akbar, because he's trying to say this imam, no other imam. This one here, the one I'm pointing, the one I'm touching. So don't go to the extreme when it comes to formulation of niyat and intention. As far as doing qurbani on behalf of family members, yes, before I forget, when we spoke about nisab, don't forget the women folk. Those who own jewelry, equivalent to nisab, qurbani is compulsory upon them. Even if they got no other money, they only own the jewelry. So then they are like zakat. So they ask, now what we must do? We don't have the money. Then we sell the jewelry and make qurbani. That is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sell the jewelry and give the zakat. You cannot retain the jewelry and miss the obligation of zakat and qurbani. So if we are to do the qurbani on behalf of the wife or the daughters or somebody in the house, then they must give the consent for it. You must at least inform them. If they didn't give any consent, they didn't even know, and a person went and did qurbani on behalf of them or somebody else, that qurbani will not be regarded as valid. So keep that particular point in mind as well. Regarding a pregnant animal, maybe this is the last masala regarding animals. Regarding a pregnant animal, it is permissible to slaughter a pregnant animal. It is allowed. However, that baby, if it comes out alive, it must also be slaughtered. And the masala is, that meat of that baby, that fetus that came out, is not permissible for people to eat. It must be given compulsory as sadaqah. The animal itself, you can distribute the meat. But when it comes to that baby, then must give that as sadaqah. Like before qurbani, if we take the wool of the animal or the milk of the animal, it is not permissible to use it. You have to be given a sadaqah, and if a person uses it, then you have to give the equivalent value as sadaqah. So if you got a cow for qurbani, and you milked it, got 10 liters, then see what is the current price of milk, multiply that by the 10 liters that you got. If you use those 10 liters, then pay that amount to the poor person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true spirit of qurbani. Give us the tawfiq to do it in the best possible way, with heart and soul, and to regard, with ihtisab, to regard it as an act of ibadah, as an act of great ajr and reward, and to do it in accordance with the sunnah, with kind treatment towards the animal, with the proper distribution of the meat, by complying with all the masail, trying to practice every sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imbue us with the very spirit of qurbani, which is to acquire the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's not the blood or the flesh of the animal that reaches Allah. Allah ta'ala doesn't want to see, or He doesn't need the meat of the animal. It's not the flesh or the blood. Allah ta'ala wants to see your compliance, how obedient you are, how willing you are, how loyal you are to carry out Allah's hukam. That is, Allah wants to see your spirit of obedience and submission. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. So let us try to do it with that spirit. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا رب العالمين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.